I want to say something about the nature of Bible study today, and I want to say it in relation to spiritual formation, especially because on the first day we talked about God who formed us. And I think that, I should have said roll the tape. Sorry, let's roll the tape. It's probably already rolling.
Roll it, Chuck.
Sorry. Hey, Chuck, we could have rolled the tape. And I'm Peter, and this is day four. Yeah, I know. Right? So I've confessed. Maybe the confession was another. Anyway, this is day four, Bible study. Isaiah, I'm Peter. Hello up there.
I'll buy a tape.
So I think it's easy. Think about these terms for a second. Spiritual formation, Bible study. Think about those again now. Spiritual formation, Bible study. Spiritual formation, just the title just kind of sounds to me. It's kind of a process, and it's growth, and it's shaping, and it's... Bible study sounds like, you know, pencils and paper and desks and chalkboard. I mean, doesn't it kind of... And I wish that I had a better term, like biblical formation or biblical spiritual formation or what. But today is the day when I want to break the mold a little bit from the rest of the other 4 days in the week, and go a step further with what I said yesterday about, you know, all of us kind of being teachers together. There, I have, in the last 3 days, hopefully unpacked a little bit of the, what we call the kind of exegetical, or the kind of textual, historical, interpretive kind of side of, you know, what's behind this Isaiah text. But to really be true to what I believe about Bible study and true to what I'm saying about text and context is I'm really interested today a little bit more, maybe there will be some sharing about this, but I'm mostly thinking about this as a private exercise. But I'm interested in the ways in which this text speaks to you in your life now. And I'm going to say, I don't really want to do sharing afterward, because I want you to know that in the time today when I ask you to do some of your own reflection and writing, that's private space. So I'll say it up front. I had thought about that, but I'm not going to ask you to share from that later. I'll have some ways of summing that up at the end. But I am going to invite you for a period of today's study to take a chance to reflect on, I'll say a little bit about this morning's text, then give you a chance to reflect a bit on where you have been in your life, where you're going in your life, where you are now. I'll give you a kind of a mode for doing that. And to think about some of the theological themes that either we're talking about today, this is the one where we say, though you pass, you know, when you pass through the rivers, I will be with you. Through the waters, I will be with you. Either whether it's that specific topic or when it's one of these other ones, I've redeemed you, you are mine, called by name. And have a chance to reflect on that. Because it's my conviction that biblical study is frankly pointless. I mean, let's say what I was telling you about the threads of Isaiah. And, I may say that it's important to understand the historical context of Isaiah. But at a deeper level, I'd say it's absolutely not important to know anything about the historical context of Isaiah if it's not somehow shaping your heart, right? I mean, who cares that you knew that Isaiah had prophecies within the exile or before the exile or after the exile, if your study of the Bible isn't in a certain sense about a study of your life and your own spiritual walk, your own walk with God. And that's what I believe. I think that if biblical study is strictly a kind of an academic or a studied exercise, I think the Bible loses its vitality. And so because, you know, being invited up to Holden as a teacher, and I know that all the teachers deal with it, I think in all the other classes that I've been to so far, and there's so much going on, I haven't been to everybody's classes yet. I don't know if anybody else is suffering from that yet, but you take a hike and you realize that you missed something. But I think all of us in one way or another are trying to say, you know, we want things to be interactive and such, because I don't think a one of us on the teaching staff this week or probably ever at Holden sees ourselves primarily as a lecturer. But then again, when they invite you to come up and teach something, I mean, you got to talk about something. But fundamentally, I think I would be sending you out with the wrong impression at the end of the week if I was giving the impression that good study of the Bible involves learning from an expert, which I'm not, but learning from someone who maybe thinks they know something about the text and getting those details, and then going on into your day and, you know, kind of going from there. Really good biblical study, you know, if you're a morning person, then it's for 15 minutes in the morning. If you're an evening person, it's for 15 minutes at night. You know, maybe it's both of those. But a time when, for example, maybe you just read a passage completely out of context. Let's say you read in Luke, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you just allow that somehow to shape your day. Or maybe you're reading, maybe late one evening, you're reading in Deuteronomy, and these options are given to Moses, you know, before I set before you the paths of life and death, and I say to you, choose life that you may live. And maybe that becomes your focus for a week, or a month, or even a year. I think sometimes maybe the best biblical study is grabbing the right phrase for a year and trying to really live it. So I want to give you a chance today for your own kind of private reflection around this text, but I'd like to say a few words first about it. First of all, today's text, the phrase that I've chosen for today is not, if you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Okay, it's not that. It's also not, when you pass through the waters, I will airlift you and meet you on the other side. It's when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. So of all the words in that, what's the most important one to you?
I will be with you.
Okay, one word. You got to pick one word.
When.
Okay, when. Someone say, what's another word that you think is the most important?
With.
With. Somebody else?
Through.
You.
You.
I.
Depending on, you know, you could almost choose, you know, let's say the next 6 weeks and pick a different one. It's a pretty remarkable statement. Like, it's not if you pass, you know, it's not when you water skate across the frozen waters, or I mean, ice skate across the frozen waters or water ski over them or whatever. I mean, you know, this is when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Do you think it's incidental at all that the name for Jesus is Emmanuel? And someone tell me, what does that mean?
God with us.
The name Emmanuel, and we always like to translate that in a full sentence, God is with us, and you're right. In Hebrew, I mean, that's a Hebrew word that makes it into the New Testament. And in Hebrew, Emmanuel is, I don't know, visually I can, let's see. Yeah, that's right. You never know with these pens. There's two versions. When I write in Hebrew, you won't recognize it if you've ever seen it because there's a print form and a hand, and a cursive footprint. But if, yeah, think about how it ends. Yeah. That's Emmanuel. This, and these signs wouldn't usually be here. That's Im, that's Anu, and that's El. Okay? I can show you that in a printed form that might look a little more similar to you. Im is just the word with. Anu is short for, wait, did I do that right? Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Anu is short for Anachnu, which means us. And El is that from Elohim. And you find in biblical, all of, you know, in, well, even a name like Isaiah or Jeremiah, that Yah ending is the beginning of Yahweh, and that means, like, so Zechariah is God remembers, because Zachar is remember, or Isaiah is God saves. So El is like that with Elohim. Mm-hmm. And if I was going to write this in English in a completely comparable way, I would write it like this. That's the word. Do you follow? With us, God. I mean, it's really not a sin. Emmanuel, I mean, we translate it that way because we're forced to translate it, and the Bible says, well, which means God is with us. But it's this word, with us, God. And just like we turn maybe at-one-ment into atonement, I mean, if you could make that a part of your lingo, with us, God, that's what that is.
Is that incidental that that's Jesus' name?
Or is that important to you?
That's very important.
I think this with word and this when word as opposed to if, I mean, those are crucial words in our faith story, aren't they? Really crucial words. I had an experience in our church this year that people could interpret this in a lot of different ways. And in fact, when I tell the story among you, you may interpret this in different ways. Some people like to think of God's hand kind of actively directing events in the world. I tend to be one of these people who thinks that events in the world kind of happen in a lot of chaotic ways, and then somehow the Spirit of God kind of moves in and through them. I don't really see us all as chess pieces that God is foisting around. But I think there's a spirit that God kind of imbues us with that maybe, if we're mindful, if we're aware of it, then we can act in a sense in the will of God. There was a Friday, just this past year, late winter, when the manager of our church building took me outside, and Friday's my day off, so I don't know what I was doing there. I don't remember, but I was through the building somehow. I usually try to do a good Sabbath on the Friday if I can. Maybe I had a wedding that weekend or something. And building manager took me outside and said, I want to show you something. And said, okay, what's that, Jim? And so he took me outside and went outside the building. We're in an urban church downtown. You know, closest to us would be hospitals and colleges and tattoo parlors. And I mean, this is not your kind of scenic pastoral country setting. And bars and nightclubs. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of vehicles, a lot of buses, a lot of noise. And it's very, you know, that's where we are. And our building fills, I should say, you know, on our if our property line were a rectangle, I mean, our building fills that property line. So it's not like we don't have kind of grounds for landscaping or that kind of thing. So he points way up and way up high. I mean, this is way, way, way up high. And he shows me a place on a chimney up there where it looks like there's a piece of, well, what looked to us kind of like marble. I think it was like a faux marble, kind of a terracotta of some sort. That there was a piece of it that was just fine. It was at a 45 degree angle, and it should have been straight across. It was the top of the chimney. And he was like, boss? And I love it. Jim always calls me boss. I'm always like, Jim, don't call me boss. But but he's from Texas, and he calls my mom ma'am, I think, when she comes through. He says, boss, I don't think that should be that way. I'm like, Jim, that shouldn't be that way at all. And it was kind of, what it was kind of an ornamental, I can't decide if I want to drink a cup of my, haven't taken my coffee or leave it there. So it's kind of an ornamental piece, but heavy ornaments, let's just say, at the top of this chimney. And what should be just bracing, you know, square at the top of this chimney is hanging at a 45 degree angle. And he's pointing, and I'm looking. And we kind of had a chuckle there for a moment, because with the way everything else is at our church, he said, you know, that could have been there for 50 years and none of us noticed. he says, but it looks to me like, you know, I mean, it could have just happened, you know, and I don't know. And it's right by the corner of the building, I mean, where there's sidewalk. And again, this isn't country sidewalk where someone walks through every third day. I mean, there's students on their way to class. There are people hanging out after the AA meeting. I mean, right, really right at that corner of the building is where we put a cigarette butt can. And, of course, that becomes where a lot of people hang out smoking in the intermission of AA or something. And, I mean, it's quite a gathering corner outside our building. And I said, Jim, that's a problem, you know. And again, we kind of chuckled and we thought, we gotta get some way to act on this. And the reason we're chuckling is Jim and I both know as staff people, you know, you're in a church. Sarah's with me. She's clergy. She understands. You think, you know, this could be the kind of thing the board could meet for 6 months about, right? And if the board doesn't act on it and something bad happens, staff will sound very irresponsible, right? And so So I said, Jim, let's get, you know, let's, I just named the two names, I said, or the three, I said, let's get Wayne, Clark, and Les to look at this. Because I knew we had to get, these were the three guys in the church who had to be on board. If we get Les, Wayne, and Clark on board, we could expedite the solution. So by Sunday morning, there's Jim out there, and I see him one at a time with each of those three at different times pointing, and they're looking. You know. Now, in our church, things don't move quickly. I mean, things just don't move quickly. Well, let me just say that on Monday, someone was out looking at it. By Tuesday, there was a bid received, and by Tuesday afternoon, we had already decided we don't even need a second bid. Let's move on it. And by Wednesday, the workers were there. Okay, that's not, we don't usually act that way. Yeah, I know. That's right. We don't usually act that way. So we had workers up on the roof on Wednesday morning, taking care of that up on the chimney, when at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, Seattle was hit with the Nisqually earthquake.
Oh my
God. Oh yeah.
It is a miracle.
And because, and not only am I talking about the chimney, also important is the story that because Jim, our same building manager who noticed that on the chimney, because he knew we would have workers on the roof that day, and you don't want a worker, you know, dropping a crowbar or a hammer off the edge, he roped off around the building. So that no one could park where we have parking all on one side, no one could walk on the other three sides. There's rope all around the building. And you know, as workers do, you rope off an area and then the workers, they park there where you're docked. So the damage that happened, I mean, we had masonry flinging and flying off our building. Huge chimney totaled a worker's truck. Right in the spot where I park every day, actually. And I had just bought a new car. not that that's, and I have no theological, I mean, believe me, I'm not interpreting that in any way. Yeah. But, so he'd roped off around the building, and you know, and as the stories were coming in around that earthquake, how there were no fatalities. I mean, I could so easily imagine at least five of them right at First Christian Church. I mean, I just could with everybody around. And additionally, the worker in that truck that got totaled had just gone down. They were going to try to figure out, they had some ropes and such on the side of the building. They had to figure out. He had just gone down to his truck to get a couple of traffic cones to set up in a certain area because they were going to do some ropes up the side. And he had just been in that truck about 5 seconds before and got out. And so his truck was totaled. And again, a lot of people would interpret this story in a lot of different ways. But I, and it's not that important to me actually to even interpret it, except to say that those of us kind of in the aftermath of this, kind of shaking about the quake and all of its after effects and trying to figure out what it did to our building over the long range, and that's kind of our work now, is to figure out what the effects of this earthquake on us over the long range as a congregation. But I really felt remarkably grateful for the wisdom and the attentiveness and the care and the ministry of our building manager and of the lay leaders in our congregation who recognized something and said, wait a second, you know, there's potential harm here, and really acted in response to it. And God's grace just really felt, you know, we kind of just really felt God's grace to be at work in and through that situation. I want to give you a chance in the next few minutes. I'm going to pass out some pieces of paper, and I want you to reflect. Well, let me do that first. Let me. I've got a lot of folks. I want you to have nice pieces of paper for this, because you can. You're going to take this. They're going to take this with you, so it's worth it to me. Maybe I can pass it. And if you don't have a pen yet from that, you can just pass these around. If you don't have a pen, there's a box over here, a pen. And I'm going to tell you what to do with this piece of paper.
It could be helpful if you pass the box of pens.
Thank you. Pass
Paper made it for the bag river here and on.
And while the paper's being passed, I want to ask you, today's topic is when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And before I give you instructions in relation to your paper, I'd like to hear, I just tried to scour my mind for any biblical story I could think of involving water and God's presence with us in and around water. I came up with a few. I'd like to hear what you think of. And so we don't talk over each other. Go ahead and raise a hand and I'll call on you so we can make sure we hear each person. But what's a biblical image, Old Testament or New Testament, of water and God's presence with us in and around water? Lenny?
Well, Joshua, he crossed into the promised land.
Okay. Joshua crossing across into the promised land.
Baptism.
Moses leading the people out of Egypt.
Yeah, for the Red Sea.
The ark.
Noah and the ark.
Jesus walking on water.
The fishermen, the nets. Or the windy,
the storm.
Yeah, the storm, the fishermen in the storm. Thank you, yeah. Sarah?
Jonah being swallowed by
Jonah. The creation, certainly the creation story, the God's spirit hovering over the face of the deep. There are a ton of images. If you think about it, there are a lot of them. And
Jesus being baptized.
Jesus' baptism, John the Baptist.
Changing the water into wine.
Changing water into wine.
23rd Psalm.
23rd Psalm.
Moses touching the rock in the spring of water.
Yeah, thank you, the spring of water from the rock. Thank you. I haven't thought about that one. It's a lot to do with water. And a lot, I believe, for us to... A lot of experiences with water, both literally and metaphorically, where we have a sense of or experience God with us. I'm going to invite you to take this piece of paper. I'm going to give you an example. Does everybody have a piece of paper? Why don't you fold it into thirds? Now do this right. If you're not sure, then watch the teacher. We'll show you. Fold this into third. I'm one of those kids who would have thought I understood what that meant. Went ahead and... So you kind of have three columns as a result, right? Kind of like you're folding up a letter to put in an envelope. Okay, And I'm going to remind you, this is going to be a private exercise now. And if you're really good, I'll tell you a story afterward. There's a request I tell a banana story that I don't know, I don't really know if it fits, but it might. No, it fits enough. But I'll tell you the banana story. So go with me on this exercise, and maybe I'll tell you the banana. Now, does everybody have a pen also? Okay. So... I want you to put the paper in front of you sideways like this. And so you're looking at two, you've got two creases here, right? So on the crease on the right, I want you to write a number up there. And that number is your present age. Your age. How many years old you are.
100 years old.
How many years young you are. Yep.
In the corner?
Well, on the crease, it's just kind of at the top of that, on the crease. It might even straddle, the two numbers might straddle the crease. But you're just right up there. And then on the other one, on the left side, up on that, the same thing on this crease over here, I want you to write half your age. So divide by two. You can put a half. You can round up or down. It's your choice.
Yeah.
Half your age.
Half my age. Half.
Half your age. You divide that number. You divide the number in the right by two and put that in the crease on the left. Let me give you an. I'll give you an example.
I didn't know I was going to math class.
I fucked math as it was.
Okay, so I've got you, you've got two creases, so if here, if your age is 50, then the number here is 25. You got it? I mean, it's that, because that's what you're doing. So just get your, so you now have three columns with two creases down the middle. At the top of each crease, you have one number. On the right is your present age, and the one on the left is half your age. Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple sets of instructions. In the first few minutes, I'm going to invite you to look at that first column, and I want you to think of the years in your life preceding that age that's up at the top. Okay? That part of your life. You and me, so if your present age is 50 and you put a 25 at the top, I want you to look at your first 25 years. If your present age is 80 and it's 40, then you're looking at ages, you know, 0 to 40. But so you're looking at that first column. And I'm going to give you a good 5-10 minutes here to reflect on. You might draw a picture, you might write words, you might doodle. But ways in which you believed or knew or felt that God was with you. Ways in which you knew or believed or felt that God was with you. And maybe those were situations, maybe those were feelings you had, maybe those were waters that you got, that you came through. But take about 10 minutes, and I'd like you to reflect on that, and in a prayerful spirit. In fact, I tell you what, I'm just make some music while you're doing that, okay? So to have a prayerful spirit, and...
I want us to put the age after the
number. I'm sorry? No, you don't have to break, I just use that column, forget about the numbers now. I mean, yeah, you don't have to write certain ages, but just in those years of your life, how you knew or felt. Yeah. And just consider this kind of a prayerful time. Give you the next instruction. You don't have to do it immediately, but just as you have time, some of you are ready to move on and some of you need some more time. The next instruction is now look at this next section and think obviously of the years between that half your age and your present age. So think in that column about ways that you felt or known or believed or experienced God with you. Maybe through waters, maybe through other things, but ways you've known God with you in that chunk of years. I'm going to invite you into an exercise for the third section, which doesn't mean you can't. I'd love for you to go back and maybe later in your day or later in the week to continue to fill in those first two, but I'm going to give you now a section, an exercise for the third section. I'm going to read our theme passage for the week that we've been studying, and there may be parts of this passage that already in the week have already stood out to you because maybe you feel like you've been through these things before or you've had this experience, you've related to God in this way. And as I read the passage this time, I want you to pick up on maybe it's one word or maybe it's one phrase, maybe it's one part of the passage that you'd like to live into. In other words, if you could be, let's put it this way, if God is with us all the time, I really believe, and I think you probably believe that as well, that God is with us all the time. The moments when we feel that we are with God really are in direct proportion to how much we are attentive or aware, paying attention, you know, to God's presence. So if there's any aspect of this, as I read this, I would invite you to just listen for the phrase, the thought, whatever speaks to you about whatever years are now in front of you. Okay? So from this day forward, what's a phrase you'd like to live into, or you'd like God to teach you more about, or you'd like to be more aware of, or a place you see yourself nurturing in your spiritual journey? Let me read the theme passage, and you can just choose a word or a phrase and write it at the top of that column. I'll read it twice. But now thus says the Lord, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. But now thus says the Lord, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So if you've written something up at the top there, and if you didn't, if there's, it's all right. If a particular word or phrase didn't occur to you, that's also okay. But I'm going to invite you this next kind of prayerful period of time to consider the ways from here forward that you can be more mindful, more attentive. Another way to think of this is, how can you nurture this relationship with the Holy? In the years ahead, how are some ways that you can be intentional about nurturing your relationship with the Holy so that you may be more aware of the ways in which God is with you? And take, maybe it's a challenge you have for yourself. Maybe it's some disciplines you have a desire to integrate in your life. But you know what that is. We're all very different people, and we have different ways of doing that. But if there's a way that you can be more intentional about nurturing your walk with God, go ahead and write those things, or draw pictures, or doodle, or whatever, in that third column. This sheet of paper is your own, and you can kind of tuck it away. Maybe it goes in your Bible, maybe it, you know where it goes, and you can finish it perhaps through the day, or the remainder of your time that you're up here holding. My desire for you and my prayer for you is that in the years ahead of you from here forward, however many or however few, I mean, I guess having lived through the death of a child on the day of her birth, I'm always aware that we have no idea how many days we have. And so I don't say that in any way facetiously. I mean, that with whatever days and years we have before us, to be mindful of the ways that we can be open to, we can nurture our relationship with God. And my prayer for you is the scriptures can really come alive for you and burn within your heart in some way. And I would, I've only been able to make it to one of them so far, but Cynthia's poetry class, it's just striking me as you're all writing. If you have not yet been, Cynthia's poetry class, I think it's later this morning today at 10:45 and tomorrow in the afternoon, is a remarkable way to also to work perhaps with these words in different ways. And today her theme is this theme around waters, right? Or is this about fire? Through nature. And but if you're, I'd encourage you to that as well as a way of exploring this further. I told you when I started that I wanted today's study to be a little different, and this is, and I thank you for trusting me and trusting yourselves into this exercise, because I think the scriptures can be open to us in a very different way. I mean, through our own lived experience, through our own lives, both in the past and into the future. And certainly when we read these pages, I mean this text, it's so easy to imagine it kind of falling out of clouds. You know, it's so easy to imagine that, you know, this text just kind of magically appeared somewhere. But this appeared out of people's lived experience with God. That's where these words came from. And there's a long history to that. And God promises us a bright future of God's walk with us. And so if this is strictly a history text, I think we really miss the point. I mean, this is about the present, and maybe that present is some thousands of years ago when these folks were writing, but it's about God active in the present. And I just, I want you to know that, just to know that in some way. Some folks have been asking me about a story about bananas, which actually, I mean, it actually does connect. I wouldn't tell the story if it didn't connect at all. Well, I might, but no. But it does connect. It does connect. I live in the Pike Place Market. Who's been to the Pike Place Market? I live down near the Pike Place Market in Seattle. I don't live literally in it, but I live very close to it. And so my I've been there for about a year now. And it's a place that I moved to in some transition in my life. And it's been just a delightful place to be. And most people, I say most, I don't know if this is really true, but it seems like most people experience Pike Place Market on a sunny day, like a Saturday or a summer weekday when there's lots of tourists and all that. But my favorite way to experience Pike Place Market is right about in January on a Wednesday when it's raining. And it's, you know, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning and I can go get my cinnamon roll and a cup of coffee and see the vendors setting up their broccoli and their corn or whatever, you know, whatever they're doing, and the fish getting thrown. It's one thing to see the fish getting thrown when the market's packed. It's another to see these guys hurling these fish and setting them up and getting, they rig one of their big, I don't know, it's a lingcod or something, so that when the kid walks up to it, they pull a string and it opens its mouth or something. You see them getting all excited as they figure that out. And This past winter, I was walking through the Pike Place Market, and before I got into the market, I passed a couple of gentlemen who I see pretty regularly, and who were asking for change and looking, you know, for ways to augment their income. And some of them selling this newspaper we have there called Real Change, which is a paper produced by homeless folks, and it gives folks an income to sell that. And so some folks are selling Real Change, And some people are just asking for money, and others are, you know, literally approaching you and say, hey, I need some money. And I don't know about you, but I always feel pretty, that's a very tough situation to be in for a couple of reasons. And I don't know if this will ever change for me, but on one hand, I've known so many folks in addiction, in recovery from addiction, who tell me, don't give cash. Just don't give cash. You know, I mean, that can fuel something, and for spending in ways that you wouldn't have to spend. And I also fundamentally believe that I don't want to bypass somebody in need. And I believe it when I read in Matthew's gospel this idea of, I was lonely and you visited me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was in prison and you visited me. I mean, take that whole the sheep and the goats passage very seriously. And so from time to time, I'll invite someone maybe to, I'll just say, hey, I just can't give you cash, but if you want to sit down, I'm about to get a cinnamon roll, why don't you come join me? I mean, I've done that. And that, quite frankly, if you have never had that experience, I commend it to you. Or, heck, take them into the nearest McDonald's and get them a cheeseburger, even if you're a vegetarian. I remember I did that once. I was a vegetarian. I used to buy hamburgers. I felt great. You know, I wasn't going to have it, but I got it for them. But over time, I find that it's really distressing, I guess, to get how serious and how close at home kind of poverty is. And I was walking through the Pike Place Market, and I had three gentlemen who I recognized on a pretty regular basis. I had walked past on my way into the market, and I was going in that morning to do my grocery shopping, and I live alone, so I don't, when I grocery shop, I don't need, you know, a half a dozen apples, I need maybe two apples, and I don't need large amounts of things. Somewhere along my journey, I was going up one part of the market and down the other, and I was just kind of zoned out a little bit for the next thing I needed, and this guy just kind of jumped out in front of me, and he said, I'll give you these bananas for $1. And he was holding, I mean, he just had this big bunch. It wasn't just a bunch. I mean, it was probably about 15 bananas in his arms. That apparently to him, I mean, as I began to figure out the situation, I mean, either it's because they were all individual bananas or a couple of them were bruised or something. He couldn't, you know, they weren't going to look beautiful on his stand. And so he just needed to get rid of them. He said, I'll give you these bananas for a dollar. And I'm thinking, at first I'm thinking, I don't need 23 bananas, you know, or you know, whatever, 13 bananas, whatever. And so I started to say no, and he's looking at me like I'm a fool. I mean, who wouldn't buy an armload of bananas for a dollar, right? And so I said, okay. So I grabbed a dollar, and I had this big bag of bananas. And I'm, you know, and unfortunately, my first thought is banana bread, and my second thought is, so many times I intend to make banana bread and the bananas go bad. I mean, I could just see this story. I could be a prophet foretelling my future, right? I could just see this emotion. So now I have other things to get on my grocery shop than bananas, you know, and I had to get some bread and some, I don't know, whatever else I had to get, and fish probably. And so the next guy who asked me for change, I said, here, have a banana. And then next, the woman who asked me for change said, hey, I can't give you cash, but would you like a banana? You know, and I just kind of kept doing that as I did the rest of my grocery shopping and finally worked my way home and went to kind of unpack my bags and stuff. And do you know, when I was all done and I was back in my place, I had the two bananas that I needed remaining. I had exactly what I needed. Now, I believed 45 minutes before that I didn't have what I needed, I mean, to meet a certain kind of human need. I thought that I was helpless or not able to. And the image to me of arriving home with what I needed, but also having been in a position to share and to give, just showed me God's sense of provision. And I offer to you that when God says that through the waters, I will be with you, I think God's serious. I really believe God means it. And that if we are open to the ways in which we can be a vessel for God, and which in our journey we can walk with God, we will see amazing things. Blessings on your day, blessings on the completion of your sheet of paper, and whatever it is that you do with that in your life from here forward. Go in peace. Amen.